having the real experiences beyond being called a Christian, he must understand how to function there. Christ is a place. So God wants a church that is in charge of the earth before he returns. In the last days, I will pour out my soul. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The day you got born again, you changed nationality. Yet you were sent as an emissary. You were sent as an occupational troop to bring the government of that heavenly kingdom to build on the earth.
Welcome to Church on a Mission with Pastor Caris E. Amewelf.
Okay. Matthew 28 verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Can we read 19 and 20 together? One to go. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, even unto the end of the age. Mark chapter 16, very quickly. Mark 16, from verse 15 to 18. All right. And he said unto them, go ye, come in with you, and want to go. He said unto them, and preach the gospel to every creature. Next verse. Shall be damned. Next verse. Shall believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Glory to God. Do you believe that? All right, he says, preach this gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not is damned already. Amen. Shall be damned. John said damned already. Hallelujah. So you can see how people get damned. Amen. It has nothing to do with God. God has made the provisions. God has made the provisions. Now, if you are not taking this teaching seriously until now, reading this thing, you should take it seriously. Number one, there is an eternal destiny for the man that rejects Jesus and is bad. Amen. He's bad as in he's bad, not bad as in he's good. You know, this generation, when something is very good and I say it's bad, man, that guy is bad. Hallelujah. Watch your vocabulary. Amen. All right, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, 15, you don't need to put it up. He said, the books were open, and that's chapter 21, if you read it. He said, books were open, and that book was open. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was thrown where? Into the lake of fire. And he called it the second death. So every time we think about the destiny of people who are not born again, it should spur us to action. There should be an urgency, so to say, in our spirit. As in, what can I do? How can I help? Listen, nobody is going to hell because of what he did and what he didn't do. Let me shock you. Let me challenge and rock somebody's theology. Nobody is going to hell for lying, stealing, and cheating. People are going to hell because they reject Jesus. It's clear. And nobody is going to heaven because of good works. Either. As always say, then there's no need to do good works. That's not what you are saying.
Heaven is a place of reward for good works. For every good work you did on the earth, every righteous living, godliness, patience, every good work you did, there is a reward in heaven. Do you understand? But your passport into that heaven is the blood of Jesus. And we need to have that clear. Many ideologies are going on. Many thinking, concepts, dogmas are being spread on the media. And some believers no longer know where to stand. Something, a good person. It's just that, that's true. This didn't really make sense. A nice person should go to heaven. Is God that wicked? Listen, when we speak in our kingdom, we don't make sense. We make spirits. We don't speak to make sense. We speak to make spirit. You understand? So that something makes sense doesn't mean it's truth. You look for truth. You look for the righteousness of God. You don't look for what makes sense. When a woman sits on her show and says, come on, Jesus is just the only way for Christians. There has to be other ways to God. Have you not noticed that even on the earth, there are many ways to get a thing. There are many ways to kill a rat. Going to heaven is not killing a rat. And then you now say, number one, this woman is richer than I am. She's more influential. She's enlightened, in quotes. I mean, she should be saying the truth. In fact, she said she's spiritual. So she should be saying the truth. Wake up from that sleep. No human being is a reference point. The word of God is the final authority. The Bible says there's no name given under heaven whereby we must deceive. No other name, only one name, which is the name of Jesus. So if you're a Christian, it means you have to believe the Bible and the entirety of the Bible. You can start questioning how many. Jesus, like you say, believes, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Now, when you begin to think in terms of religion, that's why people get confused. You know, but that's for Christian now. You know, I don't like all this narrow minds. I mean, that's the provision of a Christian. Don't you think others still have their provision? Listen, God did not call us Christians. Let's start from there. The name Christian has given us a religious ideology, which is wrong. So you are saying Bible is for Christian. No, sir. The Bible is for humans. Jesus is for Christian. No, ma. For God so loved Christians and gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world. Not the world of houses, cars, and things. The world of people. So Jesus is for the whole world. He is not for Christians. In fact, the name Christian was not given to us by God. Are you aware? He was an Antioch. He was the people who saw that the disciples of Jesus behaved like him. I said they are Christ-like. And they gave them the name. But unfortunately, he has given us a religious identity, which is wrong. You know why it's wrong? You begin to think in your subconscious that, if this is for Christians, then there should be something for other people. I mean, we're just saying our own way is the right way. It's not about saying our own way is the right way. Do you understand? Glory to God. So it's not about protecting our own way. He said this is our own way. It's the right way. No, that's not what we're saying. This is the way. Jesus never said, I came for Christians. Did he ever say that? This is the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Zoe. No man comes to the Father except by me. Christians are those who have gone through him to the Father. We are not on our way to the Father. We are with the Father now. And our job on the earth is to prescribe that way for others so they can get to the Father. Can I get an amen? Amen. This will begin to give us an idea of the mission of the church on the earth. He said, go into all the world, preach to every creature. Preach. And I say in the service, the original rendition is, go preach to every creature as you go about your business in the world. So there is no separation. We said there's nothing like this is my Christian life, this is my work life. That's a deception from hell. There's not like this is my Christian life, this is my social media life. So I don't mix it, or I don't want to offend anybody. There's nothing like that. Whether you're at work, on the internet, on the social media, you're a Christian there. On a mission. Hallelujah. You begin to see yourself as a missionary. You are, say, I'm a missionary. Maybe when you say it to you, say it, I'm a missionary. The moment you use the word missionary, pictures come to your mind. About a man and his wife going to the village with their load ready to suffer. He may be tied on the back. Glory to God. That's the popular pictures. Because we're brought up wrong. Listen, God is a very strategic God. God, if there's something you must learn about your Heavenly Father, if there's something you must learn about the kingdom that you belong to, is that God is strategic. And as a believer, when you're not strategic about it, you're not reflecting God. God is a very strategic person. Look at the way he took out Xerxes. When the children of Israel were slaves in the den, what's the name of the world now? In Shina, but there was a dispensation before the Babylonian. They were there. It was Persian. It was Medo-Persian period. He knew that something would come up. He carried one of his and put her in the palace. Oh, you didn't notice that? Then he took Mordecai and put him at the gates where he can hear certain conversation. God is the same way when they got to Babylon in the days of Daniel, he planted them close to the president for the advantage of his people and of his agenda. Is somebody with me? When he saw that famine was going to come to the whole world, he sent a man before them. His name was Joseph. Planted him in Egypt, in a very strategic place. God is strategic. Never forget that. He likes to be where things are happening. Oh, glory to God. I know somebody is hearing me this morning. You remember the marketplace? That we are supposed to be where decisions are being made. They don't make a decision and force them through our throats. No. That's what God is raising some of you for. To be where decisions are being made. So you are not just passing by, trying to get a nice car to drive, a nice house to live in, a fine girl to marry, a fine man to marry, and then you start manufacturing children, and then you send them to school, you look for nice school. So you make life around the mundane. No. We are created for a higher purpose. For a higher purpose. Honestly, if you didn't get anything from this, know that God is strategic. Therefore, you too must be strategic in giving advantage to his kingdom. Strategic. Now, look at the Ethiopian eunuch who came to Jerusalem on pilgrimage. He was going, God knew, if I can get to this man, I will get the gospel to Ethiopia. He told Philip, join this chariot. Woo! God is strategic. Join this chariot. And Philip, by the Spirit, went and joined the chariot. The chariot was so beautiful. The chariot was fancy because it was the queen's chariot. It was a royal chariot. The man was an eunuch, remember? Serving the queen of Ethiopia. He was a high-ranking government official. There are two things there. Let me say this one first. High-ranking government official from Ethiopia. God did not look for a petty trader from Ethiopia. Or Ethiopian beggar, thank you. To share the gospel with. God knows you spend more time trying to renew the guy's mind. Alright, let's hit this government official. It was a government official. Let's hit this government official. Get him into the palace. In a short time, we can trickle down. and reach the other people. God is strategic. God is strategic. In his approach, when you read through the Bible, you will see it. Just a digression. He means you cannot be anyhow in your approach. In life, self. In business, in career, don't be anyhow. Be strategic. Know how to calculate 10 steps. But do you not have the Holy Ghost in you? Be strategic. We know God gave you the idea, but be strategic. You tell yourself there are people. You know, when we say, Kai, when we say, in this life, I don't need anybody. It's only God I need, it's just light. There's nothing like that. It's not in the Bible. God is a God of relationships and strategic alliances. So there are times you would deliberately, I'm not talking about forcing things to happen. You know when God is opening those doors. You deliberately establish certain relationships for business advantage, for career advantage. You know, many Christians are not strategic. They're not there. No. No. Glory to God. He got the Ethiopian eunuch to take the gospel to them. God is interested in our world. He's interested in a big way and is counting on us as his partners to take the gospel to our world. Never forget that. All right, we broke down that Matthew 28, 18 to 20. We talked about ethnos. Ethnos. You can get the material to hear about ethnos. You hear us talking about ethnos a lot. Also, we said everybody has a world, and your world is to be influenced. Hallelujah. To be influenced by you. Is that okay? And then we ended the first service talking about publishing the word. Publishing the word. I'm a publisher of the word. So you go and say, I'm a publisher. I say, yeah, are you publishing books? No, I publish the word of God. Hallelujah. I publish the word of God. All right, let's look at the orientation of the church. The orientation of the church. We'll start up today. The orientation of the church. Church on a mission. All right, if you are here for the first time, you have many things to connect. So we are just continuing. Is that okay? So you get the material. The orientation of the church. We have said that the church has three expressions. The individual church, the local church, and the universal church. Amen. The functional unit of the universal church is the local church. Amen. Universal church doesn't mean everybody's on his own. No. There's a formation. There's a formation. And the functional unit is the local church. Amen. All right. What do we mean by the orientation of the church? Or what is the orientation of the church? Number one, put it this way, the church was designed to lead. So the church is an entity designed to lead, to take the lead, not to be dragged around by the world. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 14. You can put verse 1, verse 10, verse 11, and verse 13. You see there. God was talking to an entire nation. You know, sometimes we quote it as individuals. It's great. It's awesome. But addressing an entire nation. Deuteronomy 28, he was addressing an entire nation. And that nation was the type of the church. He told them, you shall be the head and not the tail. Remember, he had cattle in mind. The illustration was taken from cattle. Amen. Cattle don't stand this straight. It's like this. Cattle go upward and forward. You understand what I mean? So, this is the orientation of a cattle, right? So, they have the head and they have the tail. That's what he's talking about. He said, you shall be the head and address to the church in the wilderness. You shall be the head. Meaning, number one, you'll be ahead. Oh. Number two, you'll be above. Remember? Number three, you will lead in the strategies and in the innovation. Yes, sir. Do you know the church was once ahead?
Yes.
Technology, innovation, science. Go and read it. The church was once ahead until men slept. If you go and study the history of technology, do you know insurance came from the church? Multi-billion dollar organization came from the church. Yes, it did. Somebody was in church on Sunday morning, heard a message, and then the idea of insurance came. You can Google it. The church was once ahead. What we have as the model of capitalism today came after the Protestant Revolution in Europe. What we have as a model today. And if you look at Europe very, very closely, the countries that are ahead are the countries that were involved in the Protestant Revolution. They are not Catholic countries. Go and study it. Go on, I'm serious. You pick England, you pick Germany, you pick those countries. The ones that are very ahead were the ones that were part, major in the Protestant Revolution. Go and study it. The ones that are struggling in the Eurozone are the purely the ones that were ruled by the then Roman. You understand? I'm sure it's a fact. Can you compare Germany and Spain? Glory to God. He was best by that revolution when light came, when people had access to the Bible. He says in him was life, and the life was the civilization of men, the light of men. So the moment people had access to the word of God, there was illumination. More progress was made in a shorter time than it was 3,000 years before Jesus came. Go and check it out. Head, not tail. So we take the lead. We lead, the word follows. Amen. That's the first orientation of the church. I want it again. That the church was designed to be ahead. Designed to lead. Designed to set the pace. Let's put a message translation again for me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, I believe. We take the lead. We are not the one trying to peep into what is happening in the world. No. We create it and they come to peep it. Hallelujah. Very important. We are the head. Look at this. He is in charge of all. All right, go to verse 20. By now you should be used to that verse. All right, verse 21. All right, verse 22. Where were you? Go back to 22. 22, 23. At the center of it all, Christ rules the church. All right. He said, the church you see is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Can you see that? Powerful. The church is not peripheral to the world. We are not outside and are trying. When you see somebody, okay, do something else, start copying. This is the head this person made, you now start copying. No. We're to set the standards. We're to lead and the word follows. Amen. Hallelujah. That means in every industry, don't let the word define fashion. Those of you in the fashion industry, define it, bring the disruption there. Do you understand? Don't wait until someone does something. Everybody is now, is somebody bad mohawk? Everybody within 24 hours, over 2 million people had bad mohawk in 2002. Yes, that's what happened. Glory to God. In Korea, Japan, 2002. Lead the revolution where you are. Don't say, who am I? You are somebody. You say, yeah, but I'm just in Jaws. The backside of the world is a lie. You just lie. Number one, Jaws is not the backside of the world. Number two, with the internet. Listen, I said it during the first service. Hope you know there is a parallel visual world that we live in. A parallel world. Cybernetic, digital world that we live in. Parallel to this world. Are you aware? You stand a British and shout, Jesus loves you. How many people can hear your voice? But put an ad on Instagram and use 2,000 naira to sponsor it and watch how many people would have seen it. Am I talking this morning? I told you, punching share of kingdom gospel content on Facebook is as spiritual as going for early morning cry for evangelism. Most times all we're doing, we're socializing there. We're not deliberately carrying and pushing an agenda. I mean, I've said it, the people that put it up did not put it up to socialize. They put it up as a business. Glory to God. So why not make up your mind? They'll not make money off me. I'll use it as a platform to push what I believe. Hallelujah. You guys are quiet this morning. I said hallelujah. So the church is the head. We take the lead. The word follows. I'll revisit that. Number two, blesser and helper of nations. Blesser and helper of nations. We're not the one needed help. We've been set here as a helper. All right. You know what this means? From Genesis 12, when God spoke to Abraham, do you know he opened his eyes and told him, I'll bless you, I'll make you a blessing. He says, in you that shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And by extension, that word covers you. Are you aware? Because you are the seed of Abraham. The church is set forth to bless the world. The church is not set forth to be raptured. Oh, we read it some weeks ago. Jesus said, this is what I pray. I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but I pray that you keep them in the world and keep them from evil. Can you see that? So don't practice escapism. Oh, when you hear there was a bomb blast here, and he's like, oh, when will Jesus come? Come, Lord Jesus, come. Take your bride away. That's escapism. But when you hear of those chaos, you say, in the name of Jesus, we will change things before our king comes. Listen, we are responsible for this world. Are you aware? The Bible says, he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then the man of sin shall be revealed. Meaning the Antichrist cannot be revealed until we are out. So we keep our legs on his neck. Oh, is somebody here? He can run rampage until we are gone. There's a word. He said, he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then the man of sin shall be revealed. So he cannot be revealed as long as the church is here. Glory to God. He can try to influence people to do funny things here and there, but we stop him in his tracks. That's our responsibility. We stop him in his tracks. In this office, if you are not doing charm, if you are not in court, you cannot get promotion, you are not a Christian. A Christian talking like that. Do you know they are lower than you in the realm of the spirit? It's just like, that you don't know who you are. What do you mean if you are not in court, you can't rise in the office? What do you mean if you are not what do you mean by that? We read, he said, all power in heaven and in earth has been given. He said, go ye therefore. Meaning on account of this authority, go. We are not to be victims. Don't have that victim mentality. No. That is not Christianity. How did the apostles live? They were in charge. They told them, they warned them. They said, don't speak anymore in his name. They laughed. As they were living on the way, they were preaching. They were preaching. You have come and say, you know, brethren, the government just passed a law in this school. The senate of the school or the VC, the MD of this just passed a law. Is there anybody that on this? You are just afraid. It's job security that is your problem. And there's nothing like job security. Are you aware? There's nothing like that. It doesn't exist. Is that okay? If you close your mouth to truth because you want job security, I prophesy you have lost that job. No, I'm serious. Because God was like, what are you talking about? Job? Your life tied to job? What happened to your hands and this mouth? Then you refuse truth because of what security? Job? Is that how low we have reduced ourselves? Every Christian, from the day you got born again, you got gainfully employed. I don't care whether you were in SS2, you were gainfully employed. Meaning you you were employed before you went to school as a Christian. The Lord is not wondering what to do with you. If you sit down and think, you know what I'm saying is true. So you now become a slave of a system just to keep a job. Say I forbid. We are not victims. We make known. We are blessers and helpers of nations. Blessers and helpers of nations. We help them, knowing that God is our source. Very important. We are not the ones needing blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. You know, when Christians read it, you just read and pass. Is that what you do? No. You look at it again. He said, who has blessed us? I'm not about to be blessed. I am blessed. I'm not going to be blessed. I am blessed. I'm blessed. So I announce to all the angels in heaven and the demons in hell and humans on earth that I'm blessed. I'm the blessed man. To be blessed means to be empowered to prosper. To be empowered to succeed. That's what he's saying. Alright, by extension, we've been anointed to empower others to prosper and to succeed. That's the orientation. The church is a congregation of helpers. Not the congregation of the needy coming to a pastor to help them. No. Helpers. Let the helper in you rise. When you drive by the road and are seeing children out of school, say, what can we do about these children? What can we do? How can we help them? How can we help them? How can we help them? Glory to God. You see yourself as a helper. You don't say, I'm still looking for food to eat. No, put people on scholarship. In fact, I put some kids on scholarship. I didn't remember. It's now that I'm even saying it. I've not. I said, my wife and I will put all these kids in scholarship. Some days ago, I forgot. I've not even told her. Amen. I just remember that I'm talking of kids. Glory to God. Is it because we kept money somewhere? Oh, of course, something we have talked about that, okay, we're going to do scholarship. Glory to God. We are helpers. We are helpers. And don't look to your pocket when we talk about you being a helper. If you do that, then you are not a person of faith. What is faith for? To help. A helpers. Help us. You notice certain things are on the increase. You do something about it if it resonates with your heart. Do you know what pains you is a sign to what you were called to solve? I heard that rape is on the increase. There are people that can't sleep because of that. Some of you are here. It bothers you. There's something you can do about it. Child trafficking. Human trafficking. If you hear statistics of how many children are out of school, you will shout. Who's going to do something about it? The government? Talk to me, Embassy of Heaven. Do you think it's the government? Unemployment rate is at all-time high, I'm aware. In recent time, very high. What are you going to do about it? Come on, somebody. What are you going to do about it? He said, Pastor, even me like this, I need job. Then you have not heard this message. You have not heard it. Listen, you can be a core member. Or you just finished NYC. You don't even have a job, but you are thinking of how to provide jobs for people. Why is your calling and is your destiny? You just call a few friends. Say, let's crash the unemployment rate in this city. Malakabaya. The moment you think like that, your brain will open. Your brain will open. Ideas, opportunities. Your eyes will open to begin to see. Listen, life responds to us based on the configuration of our subconscious. We're talking about it in the office the other day. In your subconscious, your brain, millions of information comes to you every second. Are you aware? But it's not everything your brain takes. Not everything. As you're looking around and hearing, a lot of things are happening. But you see, your brain selects a few. Just a few. A few things that are similar to what is your subconscious. This is very powerful. I want everybody here to listen. If you understand this, you will succeed. So as many things are coming, what you have in your subconscious is what your brain will allow coming. Not everything. Glory to God. And I believe I've given an example before. You didn't know certain cars were very much in town until your close friend bought that car. Yeah, this strange car. This kind of car. People said, until you drove, when you enter terminals, you saw five. Newsflash, those five cars did not just appear, they've always been there. But there was no recognition in your subconscious. Oh. Do you understand that? The moment your friend bought the car, everywhere you went, you saw, I said, these cars are everywhere in town now. The owners didn't just buy it. You just got activated. Did you get that? The same way when in your subconscious, there is an orientation to help, to be ahead, to be a blessing. Opportunities that others don't see, your eyes will be open to see them. I'm serious. Jobs, things that others will never see, your eyes are open to see them. Books that you wouldn't have thought of before, suddenly you see. You went and you see how you saw on your on your friend's shelf how to employ people. You've been looking at the book, you've never seen it. Not to look and to see, I know the same thing. You know, so how to reduce unemployment. Just pick the book. This is what I've been thinking about. Yes, you saw it now because you're thinking about it. Can I get an amen? Oh, and I'm out of time. Rise to your feet. Glory. See, I'm a helper. I'm a helper. And the anointing is upon me to help my generation. Rise to your feet very fast, very fast. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this precious word.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.